There hadn't been a season in my life where I've repeated the words of John at the end of Revelation more than this season. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to see him. And one day we will. Thank you, Brother Ted. Turn with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. So, just a heads up for the next couple weeks. I'm not positive where we'll be in the Word for the next couple weeks. We're in a place in Romans chapter 1. That I want to give parents the option to have their kids in here for, because we need to be able to walk through everyone. I want to give parents the option to either let their kids hear the pastor say it, or for the parents to have those conversations with their kids in light of Romans chapter 1. So we can't do that right now. But in the days ahead, at some point we will, and when we do, we'll dive back into Romans chapter 1. But for today, it's Father's Day, so we're going to Matthew chapter 6. You guys ready to do that? All right. Well, today we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6, a familiar passage. It's also in Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says to us, pray then like this. This is how you pray. And he teaches us how to pray, but he teaches how to pray in light of the kind of relationship we have with God. And so that brings us to who we are to the Lord in Christ and who he is to us when we are in Christ, and that is his children and he is our Father. Three things I'm going to repeat as we look at these characteristics of who our Lord is. I'm gonna say, and I think you'll already be thinking it as we walk through this passage, that we should worship him in light of each of these things. We should give thanks to him in light of these things. And in some cases, for some of us, we have fathers that reflect these characteristics. And if you do, I would encourage you to give thanks to God for that individual in your life, whether he's your biological father or he's just a man who has or is playing that role in your life. So we worship him, we give thanks to him, but as men, we even seek to follow his example, to emulate him. And the reason I say seek is this: we can't just be like, oh, God's like this, now I'm going to be like that. We need to seek him in the context of a relationship with Jesus, his strength, his wisdom, by the power of his Spirit, we can follow his example. And so we'll speak to that as we walk through this passage. You guys ready? Let's read this passage. We're going to begin in Matthew 6, verse 7, and read down to 13. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not pray like them, for your Father knows what you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us as we study the Word this morning. Holy Spirit, we just humbly come before you now and just ask that you would help us to understand your word, not just in our mind, but in our hearts. We ask that you would help us to respond in a way that glorifies you to your word. We ask that you would help us to do that. We ask for those who may be here or may be listening that don't know you, haven't trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. We pray that you would work in their hearts in such a way that as they hear Scripture this morning, they would be led to repentance and faith. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. So, six characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Y'all forgive my page flipping today. Technology failed me, but paper is here. So, number one, our Heavenly Father is always available. So look at verses 7 and 8. This is in the context of a large sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus sat on the side of a hill and he just preached and he touched on all kinds of topics. And here he's beginning to teach on how we pray. In verse 7, he says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as they, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them." So he's talking about the people that are not Jewish. They don't have the Old Testament. They don't have the Word of God. But many of them worship little g gods. And some of them try to worship the one true God. And most of them, when they pray believing that they have to manipulate God into hearing them. Like God wouldn't entertain their prayers. Like he might not be available, so they just need to continue to plead for him to hear them until he finally does and he finally responds. That was the Gentiles, the pagan belief. Just do this until God will finally pay attention to you. And Jesus says, don't be like them. And he tells us why. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this, our Father. Now notice the name he talks about God with here when he begins to talk about prayer. Of all the names that we attribute to God from the Bible, Jesus chose to use the word Father when he taught about prayer. Because fathers, good fathers, are available to their children. Their children don't have to manipulate them into hearing their request. And our Heavenly Father, he does not have to be manipulated by his children. In other words, we don't have to plead with him until he finally hears us. We have a relationship with him because he's our Father, where we can just go to him, because our Father, our Heavenly Father, is always available to us. Christian, just let that soak in for a moment. And I want to encourage you, like, don't leave number one when we get to 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It becomes more and more amazing in light of the rest of the characteristics that we see in this passage. Christian, you don't have to get down on your knees and pray and pray and pray and just simply hope that God hears you. Or somehow do the right thing with the right words and hope that you've met the combination of him responding to you. No, he's your Father. He's always available to you. He hears you and knows what you need before you even ask. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? We should worship him in light of that. God, you are always available. You're worthy to be praised. You are unlike any human I know, unlike any other being, always available to me and to you. Romans 8:15. Paul reflects on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer in Romans 8, the first part of it. In chapter 8, verse 15, he says, "For you," he's talking to believers, "for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." He's repeating those words, Abba, Father, from Jesus in Mark 14. Because Jesus even teaches us to cry out to our Heavenly Father the way a child cries out to their father. Abba is just, it's a less formal word for daddy. I mean, for father. My kids don't wander around the house going, Father, Father. They use all kinds of forms of dad and daddy, right? So we can too. When we need him, he is there. Our Heavenly Father is always available. Number two, our Heavenly Father is holy. So Jesus begins, he says, pray, verse 9, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed is simply kind of equivalent for holy. It's like, may your name be holy. When we read this, we may misconstrue it into thinking somehow when we pray, we make God's name holy, but that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is teaching us is that we would pray that God's name would be hallowed. In other words, it would be known by all people in all places at all times as holy. So when we say, Father, may your name be hallowed, what we're saying is, Father, you're holy, and I pray that everyone would know you as holy, that they would know that about you, Father. This is a poor illustration, but when we start comparing things to God, they always are, so just hang with me. When we think about holiness, we think about perfection, we think about righteousness, we think about even being set apart from everything else. Like, God is unlike everything else. He is holy. He is perfectly righteous. He is pure. There is no deficiency or impurity in him. He is set apart in that way. You think about a car when it's not washed, but detailed, right? My cars would be like, what? But a car, when it's been detailed well by somebody that knows what they're doing, all the dirt's washed off of it, it's shined, the chrome, the paint, the tires, everything. No evidence of bugs, no evidence of dirt left on the outside. You look on the inside of the car, it looks like no one's ever been inside of it. Pick up the floor mats, there's not even dirt under the floor mats. When you go park that car in a parking lot, it's very different from all the other cars around it. It shines, it's clean, it's in perfect condition. It's different. In the same way, that's a very poor illustration. God is holy. He's set apart from all else, everyone else. There's no uncleanliness in him, no impure thought. He's perfectly righteous, always has been, always will be, is now. When we pray, God, may your name be holy, we're praying, God, we know you are, and we're praying that the whole world would recognize that fact. Hallowed be your name. Our God is holy. Our Heavenly Father is holy, perfect, not lacking anything. So connect the two. The one who is always available to you. By the way, no one else is. No one else is always available to you. They might try to be, but they aren't. And they won't be at some point in the future. God is. Your Heavenly Father is, because he cares for you. And that Heavenly Father, the same Heavenly Father, he's perfect. perfect. He's holy. He's set apart. He's different from everyone else, everything else. There is no unrighteousness, no uncleanliness in him. So his intentions for you and his intentions for me are perfectly good as my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father. Just take those two things in for a moment. The one who's always available to you is perfectly good. He's holy. There's none like him. And he's the one that's available to you always. We should worship him in light of that. We should give thanks to him in light of that. If we have fathers that reflect God's holiness, we should give thanks for that good gift in our lives. And fathers, men, we should pray that God would help us to be holy as he is holy. Number three, you guys still with me? Our Heavenly Father is the sovereign King. He's the sovereign King. Verse 9, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two things I want to hone in on. One, our Father in heaven. That's not just a statement of location. That's a statement of authority. When we see that location attributed to God, it's not just in the Bible. It's not just location. In the people who heard this for the very first time, they would have gone, in heaven, he's in charge. He's in heaven because he knows all and he's sovereign over all. So it's not detached from, or it's directly attached to God's sovereignty, his authority and rule over all things. And then, verse 10, it says, your kingdom come. So he doesn't explicitly say it, but he assumes that we know that when we pray to our Heavenly Father, we are praying to a king. Not just any king, but the King of Heaven who reigns supreme. The King of the Psalms. Psalm 135, verses 6 and 7 says, Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from the storehouses. The King who dwells in heaven, our sovereign Lord, is the one who is also sovereign over all things on his earth. So when we say in heaven, we're talking about that. Think about who sleeps in the master bedroom in the house. It's the people that are in charge, right? Right, kids? That's why mom and daddy get the big one. Because we're in charge. Our Father in heaven, it communicates his authority over all things. So soak this in your life, in this world, in heaven or on earth, there is nothing outside of his control. And that is the one that could be bad if he wasn't good. If the one who had control over all things in heaven on earth was not righteous and holy, that would be good. But he is holy. Not only is he holy, he, the sovereign King, holy sovereign King, is our Heavenly Father who is always available to us. That's why Jesus said, He knows before you even ask. I just want to encourage you over the next week, just like, it's a lot for my heart to soak this in all at once, but these characteristics of our God put together are so rich and encouraging. I just want to encourage you to take them home. Pray over them. Ask the Lord to help you be comforted and rejoice in light of them. We worship Him in light of His kingship and sovereignty in our lives. We give thanks to Him for that. Fathers, we can't emulate that. But when an earthly father is a good father, he does seek to maintain the things of his home, seek to help keep chaos out of his home, right? And so even this, while it is completely unattainable, God can help us reflect who he is in his kingship and sovereignty. And if you have somebody like that who is always available and is righteous in character, reflecting his Lord, and is also helping maintain and lead his home in that way, man, praise God for him. Every year that passes, I'm more and more thankful for my dad because in so many ways, I did not realize and I have not realized yet, he wasn't perfect, but he reflected our Lord. And it's so easy for me to understand those characteristics of God because I've seen it all my life in my dad. And I give thanks to God for that. And if you've had that in your life, you should too. Number four, our Heavenly Father is a dependable provider. Look at verse 11. Jesus tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Verses 25 through 34, he relates back to the idea of God providing for us and when he addresses anxiousness and worry in our heart. Verses 25 through 34, he says, God takes care of the flowers. He takes care of the smallest of birds. He's going to take care of you, his children. Then in 7, verses 9, 10, and 11, he says, or which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent or snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to good things to those who ask him? God is a good provider in the fact that he gives us what we need, and those things are good. James 1:17 that we read earlier today. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father of heavenly light. Dwells in heaven, our Heavenly Father. He's dependable. We can go to him day after day after day and say, Father, please provide what I need today. And he does. He does. And we ask that just as a reminder, it's kind of a side note. We ask that not in light of the 100 or so years we have on this earth, but in the eternity, in light of the eternity we have with Jesus. Father, give me what I need for today. It makes a whole lot more sense in light of that. And he does. He's a faithful provider. We worship him and give thanks to him, and we seek to emulate him on that. Number five, our Heavenly Father is graceful and merciful. Verse 12, Jesus continues to teach us how to pray, and he says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So he teaches us to go to our Heavenly Father every day and seek forgiveness from him for our shortcomings and our sin. And the reason he does that The reason he teaches us to pray like that is because the Father is faithful. Our Heavenly Father is faithful to extend forgiveness to us every time. Our Heavenly Father is full of grace and mercy. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Christian, if you just soak this in for a moment, all the characteristics up to this point, and you leave this one out, you might be hesitant to go to your Heavenly Father, the sovereign King over all the world, who is perfectly holy, and say, "Please forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." But Jesus says, go to him every day and seek forgiveness from him. And the reason he tells us to do that is because our Heavenly Father is full of grace and mercy for us. He is faithful to forgive us when we confess our sins to him. Christian, there's no reason ever that you should hesitate to run to your Heavenly Father with your sin, because he is full of grace and mercy. And he is faithful to forgive you. Just put them together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is amazing. Our Heavenly Father is so good. We can say, God, you are full of grace and mercy, and we praise you. We worship you. Thank you. Not only that, but we seek to emulate him, don't we? Father, help me also to be full of grace and mercy to those around me. What a gift a father is to his children that is full of grace and mercy to them. That a child doesn't hide their sin from their father or their shortcomings from their father, but runs to them and says, "Dad, I'm sorry." And the dad says, "It's okay." What a gift. What a gift we have in our Heavenly Father. Number 6, final characteristic. Probably not the only 6 here, but the only 6 we're going to look at today. Our Heavenly Father is involved and helpful in our lives. Verse 13, Jesus teaches us to pray this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Our Heavenly Father doesn't give us a list of things to do and then say, "Go do them, and when you get done, come back." He has things for us to do very clearly over and over and over and over in his word. It's communicated. I'm always available. I'm always with you. You will need my help, so ask for it, and I will give it to you. He's involved in our lives, and he's helpful to us. We cannot overcome sin and temptation apart from him. And he's given us his spirit to help us. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," that is the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." God has sent his Holy Spirit to us to be involved, to be there when we encounter temptation, to be there when we lack wisdom, to help us, to be our helper. And he's not just like a human friend that helps us. Like, I need help with this, so which of these persons am I going to call? A, B, C, D can do it. I'll call him and see if he can come help. Now, God, there's nothing he can't help us with. Christian, if you're struggling in this moment, or if you find yourself struggling in the future, I hope you'll remember this. You're tempted towards discouragement. You're tempted towards doubt. You're tempted towards other things because you're just in the pit of despair. I hope you'll remember Jesus' words about our Heavenly Father. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, help us. You're involved in my life. You want to be involved in life, so help me. And the one who is sovereign, holy, and always available, he will. Every time. And we should worship him in light of that. Give thanks to him in light of that. Seek to emulate him in light of that with his help. I want to go to one more place in Scripture. Didn't have it in my notes. And it makes the gospel even sweeter. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, what he's done for us in his perfect life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, conquering sin and death. Because by faith, by me placing faith in Jesus, I was brought into that relationship with God where I became his child and he became my heavenly Father. Because I placed faith in Jesus and all that he did, not in anything I did, but all he did, I have this relationship with my heavenly Father. And if you've placed faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, in other words, you've realized like there's nothing you can do. You can't be religious enough. You can't get it all right. But Jesus did. And you can place faith in him. If you've come to that place in your life, you have this relationship with God. He is your heavenly Father. And this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, teaches us that. It's not the only place, but it's one of the most explicit places. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God," that is our heavenly Father, "sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of woman and born under law, to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So soak that in. Apart from what Jesus did in coming to us, apart from the Father sending Jesus for us, we wouldn't have been, even had the ability or opportunity to become children of God. But because God sent Jesus, he made a way. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What good news. Romans 5 says, "While we were enemies, Christ died for us." Enemies of God, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were too weak to do anything about it, Christ died for us. And then it says, we rejoice because we have been reconciled to God by Jesus. We've been brought back into that relationship with him. So I want to be very clear at this point. If you've placed faith in Jesus, you are a child of the sovereign King. He's always available to you. Not because of anything you've done, but because all Jesus did. And that's the gospel. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to be very clear to you. These things, this kind of relationship where you can say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil." That kind of relationship with God is available to you, but only through Jesus. So that's our invitation to you today. We proclaim to you that God is a wonderful heavenly Father, and you could be adopted into his kingdom, into our family as his son or daughter today, but only by faith alone in Jesus and all that he's done in his life, death, and resurrection. So if you haven't, won't you today? As I said earlier, you can come forward as we sing your final song. You can find me after the service is over, somebody else you know that is a Christian, and say, show me in the Word how to place faith in Jesus, and we will do that today. If you're here and you're a Christian, we have reason to sing, don't we? And we're going to do that. So I'm going to ask Brother Ted to come on up, Ms. Karen, Ms. Christy, and they're going to lead us in Because He Lives. And I just want to encourage you, in light of the things we've seen in God's Word, just praise God. Let's praise God together. If you're hurting because you haven't had this in your life from an earthly father, I just want to encourage you to just seek all of this in your heavenly Father. If you've had this in an earthly father, then I want to encourage you to give thanks to God for that in your life and honor him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for sending your perfect son, Jesus, to live for us a perfect life, to die on the cross, our death that we deserve, and to conquer sin and death in his resurrection, that we might place faith in him and receive adoption as your sons. God, thank you. God, you are our perfect, our holy, always available, sovereign King and Father. You are kind and gentle. You are always full of grace.